Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Oh, Miles here.
Your outpost for the week is freshly delivered, and I am just one of the hosts here, Matthew Rushing, and with me, as she is every single week, Miss Drea Kaufman. How are you, Drea?
Hello!
Hello! Hello! Hello. You know what was really exciting is I got a little message on Instagram today from Miss Sherry 56, and they said that they've been listening to Outpost, and they're a big fan, and they love the podcast. So that was really cool to get today.
Oh, awesome. I got a message from Miss Sherry 56 saying the same thing.
That's
great.
Yay,
Sherry.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love it when people reach out. And so I'm just glad people are enjoying the podcast. And so exciting this week, we finally get to the Deathly Hallows, even though we still have 36 weeks left, so we'll be around for a little while.
I know, it's like this bittersweet moment where we're like, oh, it's so sad, we're going into the last book, and it's 37 more weeks of podcast. Woo,
yeah,
we're not even close.
It's going to be fun, So before we get into the final book and the first chapter of that, make sure you've find us wherever you get your podcasts. You can, download us and subscribe wherever you do. But please hit us up with a star rating review if you're on Apple Podcasts. That definitely helps our show grow. You can also find us on Twitter at Join Nerd Party. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/TheNerdParty. And then we've got thenerdparty.com where you can check out all of the shows we're doing. Plus, if you go over to the contact section, you can send Drea and I an email, which is always fun to get. So, chapter one, The Dark Lord Ascending. I have to be honest, I forgot just how dark this chapter is. Like, we start like super dark. There's no playing around. There's no like, oh, we get to enjoy seeing what Harry is up to. No. It's awful. Like, it's just such a foreboding way to start. And I think I would say, too, this definitely really follows up, the final chapter of The Half-Blood Prince, in the sense that, like, this is the end, and this is how bad it's getting. And so to start this book off, I think really does a great job of, we lost Dumbledore last time, and now we're at this place where Death Eaters seem to be roaming around freely, and Voldemort seems to be kind of at the height of his powers. And just overall for the chapter, it is such a dark way to start the final book.
If you listened to any of Matt and I talking about the Deathly or any of the Harry Potter movies on the Trek FM 602 Club episodes, we really point out how the movies go from very childlike to very dark. And it has a very distinct turning point in the films. This turning point in the books is much more subtle, but this book is so dark, and it stays dark, and it's way darker than the movie, which I had completely forgotten how dark the book is. And this first chapter just really starts you out right there in the thick of it, just showing you how seemingly hopeless the wizarding world is right now.
Yeah. And before we even get in the chapter, I will say, I think for the most part, the first movie that they did for the first half of The Deathly Hallows, it does a pretty decent job. They definitely condense some things, but for the most part, I liked that movie a lot more than I think a lot of people did, and mainly it was because they stick quite close to the book, and it's just not an easy half of the book to read, because again, we start off in a really dark place, and we actually start at Malfoy Manor, where Snape and Yaxley are meeting each other as they are coming to the house, and they are talking about, basically, that they seem confident, oh, you're going to get a good reception, you know, and we get the feeling like they're going to meet Voldemort. And as they're walking up to the house, they kind of walk through these gates, and the gates kind of turn into smoke for them, which is really cool. And, you know, they're talking about how, oh, wow, Lucius always did well for himself, you know, like...
Because, like, a peacock wanders out of the yard. Like, that's the one of those moments where you're like...
What? Yeah, what? classic Lucius, you know.
Classic Malfoy. Exactly. Peacocks everywhere.
Personally and just actually. So...
Yeah, just really. An actual peacock.
And we get this description of just this massive manor house that it looks handsome. It seems like this beautiful place to live. And yet, we get inside and there are all of the Death Eaters sitting at a table, with, you know, the Dark Lord himself. And Severus is basically asked to sit right next to him at his right hand. And then Yaxley is seated behind Dolph, you know, down the table. It's just a foreboding start. And then they begin discussing this idea of when Harry Potter is going to be moved.
So it's really interesting, before you go too much into what they talk about. This scene did two things for me. One, it introduced a ton of characters, because before now, we really only had names of Death Eaters who were like parents of students at Hogwarts, or a very significant player like Fenrir Greyback and Bellatrix, right? And here we see that there's many more. They all start getting names. We learn about Yaxley. We see Dolhov. Like, there's several names. We're getting introduced to this entirely new chapter worth of characters, right? And I don't mean chapter like the written chapter. Like, there's just this big chunk of characters that we're going to start getting introduced to, which adds some complexity to the book too, right? Because now you have to start keeping track more of some of these names and who they were and what they've done before and where you saw them before. Because I think it's Yaxley, we find out, was actually in the tower, was the Death Eater that Harry stunned after Dumbledore was killed. The big white-haired fella, right? So we're like connecting dots. We're giving this a big universe now. We're stepping outside of Hogwarts and creating this huge universe. And second, this scene always reminded me of a really poorly run corporate like boardroom table where like everyone just follows along with whatever the executive is saying and is yes manning and like very distinctly follows the lead of Voldemort out of like fear and things like that. I just had this like really terrible, I picture them all in like terrible suits and like really bad horn rimmed glasses. No offense to anybody, I also wear glasses, but I just think it's really funny. Like, that's the image that I conjured up. And I think it kind of speaks a little bit to her speaking to the real world in a lot of politics and media and education. I think she's also throwing a little bit of the like corporate world in here and showing how it can be very dysfunctional when you have sort of this dictator like ruler and bunch of yes men behind them. But that was like where I went when I saw visually, like in my mind, how she played out this like around the dining room table type story. But yeah, that's where I went.
No, it's a great point. And it really does kind of play out like that, because you have, you know, the head honcho, you know, Voldemort at the
executive,
where these two people are, you know, reporting to him, and they both have different information and they're basically jockeying for position, you know. And so you have Snape telling him that the Order of Phoenix is going to be moving Harry Potter on Saturday at nightfall. And he tells him that he has a very reliable source. And then Yaxley is saying, no, I heard that he won't be moved until 13th, the night before the boy turns 17. And Snape is just smiling and saying, you know, this is a false trail. And so they're kind of going back and forth. And in the end, we get the feeling like Voldemort is believing Snape more. And part of that is because, you know, the information that Snape is giving him seems much more logical, in the sense that the Order is not going to trust anything to get Harry away from Privet Drive that could be controlled by the Ministry. And Voldemort is also talking about this idea of like, well, the Ministry is not going to have fallen by Saturday, will it, Yaxley? And so we get this sense that, too, they're not only looking for Harry Potter, but they're also infiltrating the ministry and trying to control it. And they have Thicknees, who's the head of the Department of Magical Law Enforcement, under their control already. And they're working from the inside now to bring down Scrimgeour's regime, basically, his administration. Yep. So I just thought that this was really fascinating to see these dynamics happening, like you said, in this very ridiculous boardroom type scene where, you know, obviously Voldemort is not above pitting his people against one another just so he can get, you know, supposedly the best out of them.
Well, and then the whole time this is happening, we totally skim over this because it's mentioned very briefly at the beginning and becomes a thing near the end of the chapter, that when we walk in, there's also like a woman just slowly hovering and spinning over the middle of this table, and nobody except for Draco, who can't help himself staring at her, like, will look at this body floating.
Yeah, it is interesting because Voldemort is actually very encouraged by the information that Snape is getting from him as well, because he says, you know, if they're going to be taking Harry out in the open, it'd be much easier for me to basically attend to this myself. He's like, there have been too many mistakes with this Harry Potter mess. I've been too careless, and I'm going to be the one who does it this time. So
and it's interesting because he takes that onus in some parts. He goes, you know, I also have owned the fact that this has not worked out well in the past, and I'm going to put an end to that.
Yeah. No, he's definitely starting to put his money where his mouth is when it comes to the Harry Potter mess. And he also tells his followers that he's going to need to borrow a wand from one of them to kill Harry Potter. And he basically makes Lucius Malfoy, give him his wand so that he will be able to kill Harry. Because, mm-hmm. of course, the last time that they met in the graveyard, it did not go so well because of Prior Incantatum. So I love this whole thing with Lucius, because Lucius doesn't want to give up his wand. And then the Dark Lord starts basically making fun of him. It's like, oh, I guess you're not so excited to just have me around anymore. You don't seem to be happy with the way things are going. And so we get this sense, kind of as we saw in the last book, where the Malfoy family, yes, they have always said that they are on Voldemort's side, but now that he's back, it doesn't seem to be a happy reunion for them.
No, and there's a part where he actually gives the wand, where he sort of has this instinctual thing where he reaches out to trade wands, right? And that's sort of how Voldemort launches into this big mocking session with him about it. And you just get this feeling that, like, him and Malfoy being scared, and what we know of that conversation from the tower, it's awkward for them there. And everyone, a lot of the Death Eaters, not all of them, but a good deal of them seem to be kind of in the same boat. So you've kind of got them vying for attention or fighting with each other, or having, you know, little matches back and forth as to who's going to be the favorite. And then we sort of shift our attention to the floating woman over the table, and Voldemort tells us that she is a former teacher at Hogwarts who was teaching Muggle studies. And that she was teaching to learn about them and to, you know, learn from them and things like that. And that is very clearly against what he stands for. And it just shows the breach of how far he can get you is he got a teacher from Hogwarts.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty awful. You know, this whole thing of the teacher just kind of above them, and the part that leads into that is just as disgusting, because like Bellatrix speaks up about, oh no, how she's excited that, you know, there's no higher pleasure than basically serving Voldemort, which super creepy in a light
ultra
of
ultra creepy.
Yeah, in light of the accursed child. So
I know, right? Yeah. Okay, that's all I could think about whenever I saw Bellatrix in this.
There's no greater pleasure.
Okay, so if you haven't read Cursed Child, none of this makes sense yet, but that's okay. That's okay. Just know that this is already creepy, and there's added levels of creep based on sort of this alternative world that happens.
Yeah, apparently, you know, Voldemort is her Chick-fil-A, basically. My pleasure.
Or Walgreens.
Yeah, there
Be
you
well.
Go. Oh, man. But so Bellatrix speaks up, and Voldemort praises her, but then he starts degrading her at the same time, talking about her niece and how she's just married the werewolf, you know, Lupin, and how proud she must be. And basically, you get Bellatrix being like agreeing with Voldemort, saying, yeah, no, we should just prune our hedges, basically. We should prune our family trees, you know, so that, and she's going right along with this, and she's like, yeah, the first chance I get, we're doing it, you know. And that's what leads us into the fact that we've got Professor Burbage, who is just hanging above them, and, you know, Voldemort goes off a long soliloquy about how awful it is to teach people, you know, what that muggles are just as good as they are. And he kills her and then feeds her to Nagini in front of everyone.
My good God, I have the biggest snake phobia in the entire world. So the second movie is the hardest thing in the world for me to watch. But here is the point where I point to things whenever anybody makes fun of me, and I go, he fed a person to a snake. My fears are justified, y'all. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah, I mean, it's awful. It's awful. So, I mean, what's so interesting is the things that we're really seeing here are that we've got Voldemort planning to try and take Harry Potter once he's being moved, and that they're taking over the ministry at the same time. So really, and honestly, it is, I would say, pretty awful what we've got going on right now. Like, it is, it's just so scary where we are. You know, the ministry is about to fall to Voldemort, and you're not going to have... you just kind of wonder, are they going to even have a chance, you know? Like, so, are they even going to have a chance?
Everything seems so far gone and so far away from what you want. That's like, is there even a chance this is ever going to change? And like, what's it going to take to do that?
And I mean, and coming into the book, we know what it's going to take. It's going to take Harry Potter taking on Voldemort. Mm-hmm. And yet what we're seeing here is that Voldemort, it has control of everything, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is such a fantastic setup for what we're going to get throughout the rest of the book. And I cannot wait to continue to dive into, you know, this book. It's definitely one of my favorites of the series. And I'm so excited that we've finally reached the culmination of everything we've been building towards. So, Drea, before we get there, though, that's it for today, because that's the end of the chapter. But where can everybody find you?
You can find me on Twitter at PCFChick or on Instagram, like we talked about at the beginning of this episode, at Drea Kaufman, and it's Kaufman.
And you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, Vero, under the name MattRushing02. I am here on the network doing another show. I do that with John Mills. We're talking about Star Wars every week, aggressive negotiations. It is so much fun just hanging out, talking Star Wars with him. You can also find me on the Trek FM network. I'm doing two shows. One is called The Orb with Chris Jones. We're talking about Star Trek Deep Space Nine. I also do our General Geek show where we cover all of the fandoms we love. It's called The 602 Club. We've actually covered all the Harry Potter films over there, so you can check that out. And then last but not least, we're hoping to be back soon, but I do Cinema Stories with my good friend Courtney, where we talk about films through the lens of faith. But thank you so much for checking your outpost.
Mischief managed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.